After 3 long days in the Windy City, 12 men were added to the historic fraternity known as the Cleveland Browns. They come from the West and the new power of the Pac-12. They come from the Southeast and the storied teams of the ACC and SEC. They come from the heart of America and the Big Ten. Some have been teammates for years, some bitter conference rivals. They all now gather here to wear the orange and brown. As year 2 of the Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine era begins to unfold, the Browns look to improve on their best season in 7 years. The pieces are in place for the 2015 rookie class to make an immediate impact, to give the most loyal fans in football exactly what they crave. Football in the month of January. It's time to meet Cleveland Browns draft class of 2015 in this year's Rookie Spotlight. In the 2014 season, the Browns, plagued by injuries, finished last in rush defense. So with their first pick in the draft, they set their sights on a player who could help change that in 2015. Will that change come with University of Washington's tackling titan, Danny Shelton? The cerebral defensive lineman stands 6'2" and 339 pounds and is ready to hear the roar of the dog pound.
Danny Shelton, University of Washington, defensive tackle. Grew up in Auburn, Washington. It started when I was young. I mean, when I was introduced to the game, playing street football right after church. Every time we played street ball, I tried to play fullback or tight end or safety, any chance I could get the ball. You know, so when I was on defense, I was trying to be the dude in the backfield playing zone and, you know, just picking it off and trying to take it to the house. It's always been, you know, just in my head to play in the big leagues. It's just always been there. You know, it's always been something on my checklist that I need to do before, you know, before my life is over.
He's a big body who was dominant at Washington and in the Pac-12 for 2 years. He's a guy that's going to command 4 hands on him, or 2 bodies on him. And when you have that, you keep linebackers clean over the top. And the thing he doesn't get credit enough for is he's not going to have great sack production, but he's going to push the pocket and get the quarterback off his spot, and that's going to open things up for the rest of our pass rushers.
I fell in love with playing nose tackle my freshman year in college, and just playing with upperclassman Everett Thompson, Almeida Taumu. Playing with them and seeing how much damage we could do when there's, you know, big bodies in there making plays. Each year I grew and progressed, and I just started to see myself taking over that, you know, just that center section of the field.
Anytime a man that's that big and that productive, it's exciting to watch once again. And so it was easy for us to kind of come to that conclusion.
I think the day of the draft, I started seeing way more signs that I was going to Cleveland. It was just crazy to see how many dog pound fans out there, turning to the left and hearing my name called and seeing nothing but orange. As soon as I got the phone call, you know, I was excited. You know, the stress was lifted off my shoulders. I could finally call Cleveland my home.
With the 12th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Danny Shelton.
Yeah, baby.
Defensive tackle, Washington.
It's really quick. Because you know, you come in and you take a tour around the facilities, and then it's like the next day. You know, you don't even remember the other days in between. It's the next day. You put on your helmet and you're out there running on the field and trying to make plays and trying to do your job right. You know, every day is a blessing, and it's definitely a blessing to be out here and go through practice and work with these guys.
Go Browns, man.
Danny serves as a charismatic force on and off the field and embraced his first 24 hours in Cleveland with his fellow first-round draft pick, Cameron Irving. picked 19th overall. Cameron is a versatile offensive lineman who played both left tackle and center in his final year at Florida State. Humble about his position in the draft, the Giant admires the veteran players on the team and is eager to learn from them as well as prove his worth as a Cleveland Brown.
My name is Cameron Irvin. I was drafted in the first round, 19th overall pick. I went to Florida State University. I grew up in a small town called Moultrie, Georgia, about 30 minutes from the Florida-Georgia line. People who were big influences in my life were my parents, my mom and my dad. They always taught me that, you know, anything that you want to achieve, you can do it. Don't ever let anyone tell you that you can't. And when people tell me that I can't, then that just makes me, you know, hell-bent on proving them wrong. I played football since I was 7, and my mom didn't want to let me play football because she thought it was too dangerous, so she didn't want me to get hurt. But I always loved playing football. I mean, it's just one of those things I look back now, and it's just ever since I can remember, I always wanted to be a professional football player. You know, I thought I had a little bit of chance to go as a basketball player for a while, but then realized there weren't many 6'5 big men in the NBA. And I couldn't dribble like Charles Barkley could or shoot like he could. So, you know, I figured football was my best bet. But I always had a real love for football. So it was an easy decision to make. Coming into college, I wasn't a really highly recruited player. And, you know, I went to Florida State because they came and they offered me early. And it was a surprise to me because, you know, they saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. So I went out and I played and I produced my redshirt freshman year on defense. And the coaches asked me to move to offense. So I moved over and it was a natural position for me, offensive line and left tackle. So I played two and a half years at left tackle and then a half a season at center my last year at Florida State.
Cam was like a Swiss Army knife in that he can pretty much do anything you ask him to do up along the line of scrimmage. You very rarely find players that can play five positions, and that's what we do stress, being able to play more than one position on the offensive line.
You know, Cam is a guy that we had higher on our board. You know, we thought that his versatility, you know, his ability to help you out at a couple of different spots and give you some flexibility on your roster going forward, we thought that was invaluable.
With the 19th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Cameron Irving, guard. Florida State.
It's definitely a blessing to be in this position because, you know, the people, the GM, the owner, and everybody saw something in me, and they picked me early. So, I mean, it's a tremendous honor. But, you know, with great ability comes a great responsibility, and that's one thing that, you know, I've thought about since that day. So you want to come in and you want to work hard.
White 80. Let's go. Run your feet. Run him.
I won't ever forget this first day because I was a little tired. One thing I tried to do today was just continue to learn. Even if I was tired or, you know, I didn't do something the best, I still wanted to go out and make sure I knew what I was doing. You know, if I made a mistake, I want to know why I made it, how I made it, how I can correct it and not repeat it. And I'm coming into play on a really veteran line. And those guys, you know, they're already so far ahead. And, you know, those guys have so much experience that it's just, you know, trying to fit in and mesh with those guys when the time comes. So, I mean, today was a good building block and a stepping stone, but I mean, it's a long way to go.
Without question, Cameron has excellent examples of fan loyalty that hard work and determination buys you in Cleveland, with Pro Bowlers Joe Thomas and Alex Mack on the line with him. When Inside the Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight returns, the secrets of the 2015 draft class are revealed and advice for success in Cleveland from the veterans who have been there.
Well, I think if you're going to be a rookie with the Browns or any other team in the NFL, I would tell them.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight. Outside linebacker Nate Orchard is a story that you think you have heard. An athlete with promise is adopted by a family who sees him for who he can be. But his is a story that is just starting to be written. Nate had a record-setting 18 and a half sacks in his senior year at Utah and looks to continue his success here in Cleveland.
My name is Nate Orchard. Played outside linebacker, went to University of Utah, grew up in Salt Lake City. Started playing football when I was 12 years old. I started off as a kicker and then worked my way to being defensive end. But yeah, I just knew that's what I wanted to do, and that's where my heart was at. I just like to be violent. I like hitting people. It's fun. So after my first year of playing organized sports, I was getting evicted from my house. My brother and my coach, my AAU coach, went up to his house, asked if I could live with them. They took me in. It was so hard because I went up, I found a ride up to their house and asked them. I said, can I live with you guys, please? And they said, initially said no, but after a while I said yes and became my legal guardians. And so they took me in with already 5 kids in the house. Culture shock, you know, kid from California moving into Salt Lake City, Utah, East Side, you know, living with a lot of Caucasians. I was the only minority around. It was uncomfortable at first. I mean, as a kid, I ran away a lot, causing trouble. Wanted to be with my mom, but didn't fully understand the situation and how it helped my life. But I did over time, and I'm grateful for them for never giving up on me. Utah offered me a scholarship going into my sophomore year of high school. The coach actually saw me playing a basketball game and offered me a scholarship for football. And so I committed right away, and from there on, I knew that's where I wanted to be. College, just wanting to provide for my family. Was the big motivation. And then once I got married my junior year, that was even more of a push to take care of everyone and be the best I know I can be. At the same time, I love football so much, so passionate about it, that I just want to be great. I feel like I'm chasing greatness every day. You know, there's so many great players out there that left a legacy behind, and I just want to be one of those guys.
Nate was a guy who you continue to watch him on tape. And the more you study him and the more you look at him, the more you see that he continues to do the same thing week in and week out. He's also another guy who has a family. So the responsibility goes beyond the field. So I think he's mature beyond his years, having been through those circumstances and situations. And he's had a lot of adversity in his life he's had to overcome. He's beat it. He's defeated it. And he definitely deserves this opportunity.
I talked to Ray Farmer and a couple of folks from his staff out at the Senior Bowl. We had a long conversation there. And then Jim O'Neill and Coach Fleur flew out to Salt Lake City to have dinner with me before my pro day.
He's dynamic against against the pass. He knows how to get to the quarterback. I can't tell you how many times George DeLeon and Andy Moeller walked into my office and told me he ruined offensive line evals throughout the draft for tackles in the Pac-12.
God, Coach Jimmy, I feel like we're ready close, man. He's going to be probably my best bud here. Definitely going to click. You can tell he really cares about his players and their well-being. And so being able to play for him, that's a huge honor. I knew in the back of my mind, like, okay, you guys got to draft me. Like, this perfect fit. It's a place for me to be. I love to be in Cleveland. Fans sound amazing. Dog pound. But just deep down inside, I feel like this is my new home. I think I'm going to be here for a while. I love the fans already. You know, getting great messages through social media. It's amazing. I couldn't ask for a better situation. I'm blessed beyond measure, and this is awesome.
The Dog Pound will surely embrace Nate, who, facing a life marred with challenges, overcame obstacles with character and heart. Stay tuned for more Inside the Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight as we explore the men that were selected to rise to the challenge and play like a Brown. Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight. It's common to hear no when pursuing your dreams, but seldom does the no come from someone so close to you. At Miami, running back Duke Johnson became the all-time leader in career rushing yards and kick return yards. Duke, in part, attributes his success to the person who once said no.
No one encouraged me to play football, actually. Growing up, my mom was very against football, like, for the sake of me. Like, she, no football, no, 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 no. Until one Christmas, she asked me what I want for Christmas. I told her I don't want, I just want to play football. So she couldn't tell me no to that. And I started playing ever since. She went from not wanting me to play because I might get hurt
to showing up to every game since I've been playing football. She hasn't missed a game in probably like 14 years. I think that's the reason I'm here now. I had support from my mom and my family growing up. They always kept me on track to become an NFL player, and now here I am. But college football wasn't too bad. Freshman year, you know, he's too small, he's never gonna make it, he's not this and he's not that, and I'm kind of used to it by now. I've been going through that same thing since I was an optimist, since I played as a kid. I never was the biggest, was always the smallest on my team, but I think I found a way to make it work, as I did in high school, as I did in college, and now I'm hoping to do it now.
Hold your name up. See, you're in the bright lights now.
That very first day is something that you may not never experience again in your life. Just knowing that you have a dream, you always want to accomplish a dream, and now this team will give you opportunity to live your dream. And you're just getting fitted for your helmets, you're just getting fitted for everything, and every time you put something on, you realize that your dream is slowly but surely coming true. I think to be a professional football player at this level, it takes mental toughness, ability to work hard, work ethic, and a mindset that you want to win, by all means. Come out here and put it all on line for your team. The team do the same for you. And you go out there and you have fun and do it with your team. I think it was fun just getting back out here and doing what I love. The process is over. No more 40, no more verticals, no more 225, no more the stuff that doesn't matter. Now it's time to play football. Who can play football? Who can provide for their team? Who can help their team win? It's not about 40s anymore. And I'm ready.
A career is made on skill and hard work. When Duke runs out of the tunnel as a Cleveland Brown, his readiness will be challenged and his skill will be tested. But his mother will surely be in the stands cheering. Her satisfaction in reversing the no will be obvious. The Browns traded up in round 3 to select Xavier Cooper. The big defensive lineman at 6'4 and 300 pounds faced a challenge off the field that almost sidelined his career before it even started.
Yeah, well, I originally started off playing soccer. And that was my first sport. I stopped playing that at age 12. And then I started, you know, playing basketball. I played AAU basketball, won a divisional two national championship with an AAU basketball team at Tacoma, Washington. And then when I finally got to high school, you know, I wasn't growing tall, I was growing wide. So, you know, my coaches, you know, high school coaches, they, you know, I told my dad I think he needs to play football. So I went out there freshman year, kind of, you know, took up on it. And then, you know, sophomore year, that's really when, you know, I was like, okay, I can do this. And then junior year is really when I hit the field and I led the state with 13 sacks. And that's when, you know, colleges really started coming in. I was diagnosed with a learning disability ninth grade year. So that kind of hurt me as far as academics. It wasn't until Washington State, Coach Mike Levinson, Washington State coaching staff at that time in 2010, came and he worked with me to get me cleared academically. Other schools didn't want to take that time.
His first step quickness is unbelievable. You know, I think if you asked me or you asked Weave, our D-line coach, we thought he had probably the best first step of interior lineman in the draft. We had him ranked as a coaching staff very high. We were shocked that he was there at the bottom of the third round.
Man, it was super hard. It took a lot of mental toughness for me every day, you know, staying up real late. I remember late nights, you know, some nights I wouldn't get sleep because I was always trying to, you know, study to work harder in the classroom, or, you know, I was working out because I already knew there were guys who had the edge on me who were already in college. So I grinded, and I think that's what put me in this position, is I worked harder than the next man, and I will continue to do that for the Cleveland Browns, and I'm so glad for the opportunity.
He's what we call, for us on the field, he's an energizer bunny. He's always moving. So he's a busybody, and he's difficult to block because of his get-off and his hand use. And the guy plays 1,000 miles an hour. He plays through the whistle, and you won't find him quitting on any play. So somebody's got to be the guy that sets the standard and sets the bar for his position, and he'll definitely do that.
This is the first time I've been this far east. And it was crazy when I was taking this long flight, took a red eye. I'm like, man, this is real now. You know, this is big boy ball. This is NFL. Like, it's no more college. Nothing's guaranteed. So I got to go out here and compete. Last week's been tough, you know, just saying goodbye to my parents before I came here. You know, it's my first job. You know, a lot of you guys, including a lot of everybody else, has worked jobs, but not me. So I've been kind of blessed, but this is my new job. And, you know, my mom cried. She said, you know, you got to make the best of it. She said, you know, I hope you do the right things with your money. So I ended up on a great, you know, organization, and I'm not going to regret anything because I don't think I want to get picked to any team but here.
A dream just starting to be realized in Cleveland by an athlete taking those first steps into adulthood. When Inside the Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight returns, a draftee who was taught competition from birth as the youngest of 12, and overcoming an injury never meant so much. Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight. Safety Ibrahim Campbell is a defensive standout from Northwestern. Beyond his coverage skills, he is known for his fearlessness against any opponent. This attitude is the very thing that caught the eyes of the Browns scouting staff.
One of my first visits of summer was at Northwestern to do some two-a-day scouting, and I noticed Ibrahim Campbell, and he was a well-built guy. He moved around. You could tell he had some leadership to him. And it's interesting to see that, like, the first day of my scouting season, you see this guy and you have no idea that he could end up being a Brown. And then as the process goes on, he checks off all the boxes and kind of handles his end of the bargain. And then it's nice to know that, you know, somebody that you did end up scouting or somebody that you did have an initial feel for can end up, you know, paying dividends on your team.
It was a great experience to kind of finally figure out where I was going to be. It was sort of nerve-wracking, the whole process leading up to it, but to finally get that direction and know that I was going to be a Cleveland Brown was a really relieving feeling. You've gone through the helmet fitting process so many times, but never at the top level. So, I mean, it's like, it was a great feeling to finally kind of be strapping it up at the highest level. That was kind of how I would describe it. So to have that opportunity, it really makes you feel like all the work that you put in is finally starting to pay off.
If you watched his college tape, you probably would question, does he have D-path or post ability? And Jeff Hafley went, worked him out. We filmed it. 90% of the drills were geared towards playing the D-path and post. And it was just kind of how they were taught at Northwestern. They were more of a shuffle, flat foot read team, run the alley. And when Jeff put him through those drills, we were more than satisfied that he could play both for us. He could play deep. He's also physical enough to get down into the box.
I think I realized how tough it can be because sometimes you don't always get as many reps as you might like and things like that. So you really got to make every opportunity that you have at this level count because it's a business and you know that you can be gone like that. I'm more excited than anything. It's a huge opportunity, just the opportunity to learn from some of the older guys and then the opportunity to compete with like pro bowlers and just extremely talented guys around you. That opportunity to see what they do in their everyday life to prepare at a pro bowl level and pick that up as a young guy, I think is an opportunity that you couldn't really, that there isn't really one better, I don't think.
Toughness. One of the key words in head coach Mike Pettine's Play Like a Brown mantra was also a key word in the fourth round of the 2015 draft. For their second pick in the fourth round, the Browns selected Washington State's Vince Maley. The former basketball player turned wideout set school records with 106 catches and 1,483 receiving yards.
I started playing high school football because my brother also played high school football. And then I just played because my friends were out there, and it was fun because I was faster than everybody. I was playing basketball, and you know, I was always getting cheap fouls because I was bullying. And then after I finished the season, I came back home. And my high school coaches were telling me, you know, they played me out of position in high school. And, you know, I'm a better wide receiver than I would be point guard. And once they explained to me that I wasn't a running back, that I was a wide receiver, that it made the switch really easy because I just put my mindset into being a wide receiver. My first game, I ended up with 3 touchdowns and over 150 yards. So I was like, okay, I can really play this at the next level.
He has a skill that I think you don't see a lot. It's kind of hidden in the NFL, and that he's a tough guy that doesn't mind running through what we call heavy traffic. A lot of contact comes your way, and he doesn't seem to hear footsteps or get bothered by catching the ball and getting hit. So for us, I know in Cleveland once, you know, December gets here particularly, if we're going to be in the playoffs and if we have home field advantage and we're pushing towards that Super Bowl, it's going to be cold, conditions won't be optimal. He'll be a guy that'll go and do the dirty work underneath in the middle of the field, and has some playmaking ability too.
Very strong. I mean, he's a big kid. He's thick. He's got a great catch rate. He has very strong hands. And he's passionate about football. I mean, we were able to interact with Vince at the combine and also here on a player visit. And felt like, you know, this guy's one of us.
My ultimate goal was to get into the NFL. So it kind of, after spring ball, I started focusing on every goal was going to the NFL. I worked on my off time. I really didn't take any break because I really wanted to get to the next level.
The wide receiver is a powerful force who is quoted as hating to lose. And his big man attitude will be a welcome addition to the Browns wide receiving core this season. Stay tuned to Inside the Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight to find out how the hunger for success drives these athletes. Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight. Charles Gaines has been a force on both sides of the ball. After one season as a wide receiver with Louisville, he converted to defense and flourished at cornerback. Drafted in the 6th round, Charles is eager to learn from the Browns' veteran Pro Bowl secondary.
Charles Gaines, University of Louisville, defensive back.
Charles doesn't lack for self-confidence. I think which at the position he plays, defensive back, it's a position where you're challenged, you're out on an island, you're by yourself. So he's very confident in himself. He's very driven and hungry. He has an edge and a chip on his shoulder, which we want. He's someone who played on a good defense at Louisville, is used to the competition.
Come every day with your mind focused on football, on the task ahead. Like, you got guys on this team, Joe Hayden, Whitner, Gibson. These guys, I just watch film and coach show us film on these guys, and it really just makes you could just, from what they do on the field, what they image is on the field, how they carry themselves, how they treat people around the building, it just really shows like they care. They love what they're doing. Not only what they're doing, they love the organization they're in. They love Cleveland. And I got the chance to sit down with Mr. Whitner the other day, and he's from here. So I understand, like, his passion for the game beyond football. Like, this is his city. So my job is to come in and soak in all the knowledge they give me and push the guys to be great, you know what I'm saying? Because like they said, like, their time is counting down. So I got to soak in all the knowledge as I can, because hopefully I'm the future of the Cleveland Browns, and I hope I have a chance to retire from here. Now I got the chance to take care of my family, my kids. You know, I couldn't do it without my family and my friends and the people that got me, my coaches and stuff like that. So it really just, some days it don't feel real, like, but when I walk in that locker room, it really, like, you got a chance to be somebody in life. You got a chance to show people the real you. You've been judged all your life. Now it's time to go out there and just be a professional and learn from professionals and stuff like that. Take advantage of the opportunity, because nothing is promised.
Charles has already learned one of the hardest lessons, which is that being drafted by the Cleveland Browns is just the first step in the competition to run out of the tunnel this September in the orange and brown. Also competing for a spot is fellow 6th-round pick, fullback Malcolm Johnson, who placed his trust in fate and held firm to his belief that what is meant to be will be.
Honestly, I don't watch the draft, so I was actually asleep when they called me, but I had my phone beside me on loud. So when Coach called me, he said, "You don't sound excited." I was trying to let him know I was just waking up, and he woke me up, but it was a good wake-up call. But I don't watch the draft, actually. I prepare myself, and if it's meant to be, it'll happen. I can say, since I am in a new position, that's going to be a little different, but I hope to bring my own savvy to it and put my own flavor into it as well. I don't see myself as a traditional fullback, and I know the coaches don't see myself as a traditional fullback, so just my versatility.
You see him in the backfield. You see him line up as a receiver. You see him as a tight end. Uses a 11 personnel tight end. So, again, the versatility of the room is going to be really, really, really good.
I was pretty big for the average little kid, and so I played running back and tight end. Running back and linebacker. Then I got to high school, and I wanted to play receiver just because of, I could say, probably like a trend. That was a trend at the time, being kind of a receiver. And so I worked myself to make myself, mold myself as a receiver. I still had a big frame, and when I got to college, Coach Mullen, Coach Dan Mullen at Mississippi State, he seen my big frame, and he had a plan for me, so he transferred me to a tight end. The first spring was a little hard. I'm a competitor, and the first spring was a little hard, and I was getting my butt whooped. And it's a totally different game from receiver and tight end, from playing out on the field, playing on your toes, to being tight end and being in the box, to being on your base of your feet and your heels and stuff like that. So it was a rough transition, but I got it right, and I embraced the transition. So when I first did it, it was for the team. I'm not a selfish guy. And I look back at it now, and I'm glad he made that transition for me, because some might say I'm too slow to play receiver, but, everything worked out for the best.
He had a certain skill that we thought could bring a dimension to our offense, similar to maybe a guy like a Charles Clay over time once he develops, or Marcel Reese, who's with the Oakland Raiders. But he's someone who didn't have a ton of production in college, but you could see the high side in his game. And what he brings to the table is someone that can be a mismatch with linebackers and safeties in the passing game. He can get open, he can run routes, and he can catch the ball. He wasn't highly used or overused in college, but I think his work ethic is what stuck out to us. And quiet guy, but goes about his business, and all he really wants to do is get better and be given the opportunity, which he will here.
Malcolm adds to the list of high-character athletes drafted to play like a Brown. Also on that list is tight end Randall Telfer, awarded USC's Courage Award for battling through adversity. The tight end from Southern California shared his draft moment with the people who mean the most to him.
I remember getting that call, and my parents were jumping up and down. My dad actually twisted his ankle jumping up and down, so... it was definitely a joyous moment, and I'll cherish it for a long time. Yeah, it was definitely a huge opportunity for me. Came as a little bit of a shock, just given the fact that, I didn't perform at the combine, didn't perform at Pro Day. But I thank the Browns organization, every day that, they gave me an opportunity, and I'm not going to let them down.
Randall Telfer, he's what I call a dying breed in the NFL. He's primarily a Y on the line blocker. And I think the game now is going to more the tight ends becoming receiver types, where they flex out, try to create mismatches. But the one thing he brings is ability to block at the line of scrimmage. And a lot of guys just don't want to do it, and a lot of guys can't do it. We feel value in that, being a team that wants to run the ball and control the line of scrimmage.
I want to compete, for a job, compete, for this tight end group at this organization to be the best in the country. I think that with the talent that we have, we're very capable of that.
Maintaining your physical and mental health over the first 3 months of your rookie year can be the greatest challenge of any player's career. Stay tuned to Inside the Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight to hear from the man whose open letter to the league was answered by the Browns. Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight. when linebacker Hayes Pollard wrote an open letter to all NFL teams and their fans, explaining his passion for football and his dream to play in the NFL. It was the Browns who called in the seventh round.
My dad passed away in high school, my sophomore year, and you know, he's kept that fire burning, you know, as far as high school, just being able to grind it out, college, be able to prove everybody wrong that a freshman can't start at USC and for 4 years and be able to earn those stripes, and now being able to come into the NFL and be able to work as hard as I can and be able to do what I can.
Very aggressive as a linebacker. I think that's the one trait that kind of separates that position. Want that guy to be the leader of the defense, which he was.
You know, me and Hayes, we were really good friends at USC, and you know, he's definitely a natural born leader. Looking forward to that side of him coming out, you know, in the coming years here with this organization. You know, the comfort of having a good friend, a teammate with me is definitely, you know, something to look forward to.
Well, I would say just any player, you know, you feel that you're supposed to be drafted higher. You know, that was my expectation. I was supposed to be drafted the second day, and it didn't happen. You know, I left it in God's hands, whether I was going to be a late-round pick or even a free agent. You know, I was happy that my name was called. You know, that was a great feeling, but I still had that fire burning inside to be able to get better and be a peak performer every time I get out here. It started, you know, with my mom. You know, I'm a mama's boy. I'm not going to knock that. And she wanted me to graduate before I went off to the NFL. And, you know, I wanted to come back and fulfill my mom's dream by getting my degree and obviously continue to work hard and just be able to get a chance to be able to get drafted on draft day. I believe God puts me in the right positions that I am in today. And, you know, he put me down in the seventh round, and now I just have to continue to be competitive, soak in what I'm being coached, and just being able to go out there and play football.
I don't know if he'll get to this level. It's a high name to use and a high standard to set, but has a little bit of Lance Briggs in him with how he plays, and we like his demeanor. Isn't afraid to mix it up and understands it's a violent physical game, and he's that kind of a player.
Definitely when I'm on the field, I pride myself on passion. You know, I just wanted to go out there, get with each and every, you know, defender, offender, and just go out on special teams and dominate every single play. Just have that punishment, you know, mentality every single play. You know, I like to walk the walk, and I'm just trying to carry that on, you know, over here. You know, it's going to take some time. You know, I have to get with the older guys, get with the coaches, seeing what, you know, the dog pound is all really about, and get and see what's, you know, expected of me.
Although the inspiration to play football can come from external forces, it is only the internal drive that can push the athlete to success. Which brings us to the Browns' final draft pick. Ifo Ekpre-Olomu was regarded as one of the top defensive backs in the nation, but suffered an injury that prevented him from being able to show his skills at Senior Bowl or Combine. However, the Oregon defender found a champion in Browns defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill.
I have been a huge Ifo fan for 2 years. To me, he's a first-round corner. He had a very serious knee injury, which we all know. You probably wouldn't take most guys that had that injury in the draft, but after we brought him in and got to know him, there's just no doubt he's gonna rebound from it. And just, he's that type of kid. And he's got that type of drive. So to me, it was a steal.
We felt like the seventh round, having picked a lot of good players, and we felt good with where we were, we loved him as a human being, as a person. So he was about all the right things. We felt like if there was someone that we could give a chance to that had a first round pedigree, that had proven that had the college production, was All-American, he deserved that chance, and we felt like he fit the bill for being a Cleveland Brown. So probably be a year where he can rehab and get his leg right, but after that, he could be a hidden gem in the seventh round for what he was able to accomplish before his injury.
I mean, it's a real honor to be a part of the Cleveland Browns, and knowing that the GM and head coach have a lot of faith in my ability, I mean, it's really a blessing to be in this situation, and I know that I mean, I have a long road ahead of me to get back on the field, but they really trust what I can do when I'm out there, and I trust what I can do, so I'm just really excited to just get to work.
The dream continues for these 12 newly minted Browns. Up next, advice from the veteran players that have competed and won, bleeding the orange and brown. Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns Rookie Spotlight. Accountable, relentless, productive, passionate, tough, competitive. These words not only define play like a Brown, they are the driving force of every athlete that proudly wears the uniform. No one can guide the 2015 rookie class better than the men who have been there before.
Well, I think if you're going to be a rookie with the Browns or any other team in the NFL, I would tell them you got to give them your playbook, study hard, study film, get with a veteran, have him help teach you how to watch film, how to study an opponent, and work hard at practice and do what your coach asks. I think if you do those things, you can make it in the NFL.
Don't get too wrapped up in the game. Let the game come to you. I think that that's the biggest thing with a lot of rookies. Myself was included. Trying to do too much and try to take it to the game instead of letting the game come to you, because clearly you're good enough to play this game. Whether you're drafted or undrafted, somebody's seen the eye and talent for you to get on the NFL roster.
You got to be a pro on and off the field. You know, you got to go out there and handle your business on the field, and you know, and off the field, you still got to be a pro, because you're not just representing yourself, you're representing your family, which is the name on your back, and you're representing this organization. So you just got to go out there and do what you got to do, and, you know, just stay away from all the distractions.
Just come in and humble yourself. You know, don't come in thinking you're better than the next guy or you deserve to be in a certain role. Just be humble, be hardworking, and be cool. Keep calm.
It's character. 100%. I mean, talent, you know, everybody in the NFL is talented, or you wouldn't even be considered to get to this level. You know, and I can say I've seen players with much more talent than I have not come close to the level I've been able to get to, but I think it's because hard work and, you know, what you do on a daily basis, the little things, you know, it all translates. The earlier you understand that, I think the better off you'll be as a player and the better career you'll have.
Talk to the older guys that are there, pick their brains, just try to see what works for them and then take what they have and then try to use it yourself. And just always be on time, because you don't want that fine either.
Take coaching, don't have an ego. You're not the best player in the building. Just know that when you first get here, you're not going to be the best. It's not college anymore. Just be a pro and listen to coaches and just go hard. Just go hard, work, and be on time. And that'll take you a very long way.
Learn as much as you can while you can. There's always something to learn at this level, and being able to be behind Paul and Jabal and constantly learn from those guys has helped me. So, I mean, just soak up the knowledge from the vets and go out there and play.
With new uniforms unveiled and a remodeled First Energy Stadium, it seems that the stars have aligned for the Browns to christen this new era of Cleveland football. These 12 men have the chance to fight alongside veterans who have been playing at the highest level of professional football for almost a decade. They will be a united brotherhood, fighting for the pride of all of Cleveland every week.